Welcome to Around the Reel with your hosts, Aaron Carlson, Charles Lawson, and Samantha Hanna. Ah, shit. Here we go again.
Yeah, I think we're ready to roll here. Did you say you and Sam were eye candy? Is that what you said?
Yeah, because, you know, I was making sure, I was seeing how his screen was set up and making sure, you know, so when he's looking at it, it kind of picks up him, you know, and all that stuff. And I said, you guys are on top because you guys have talked the most, and Sam and I are eye candy.
Well, we're on top because we're like alphas.
You're like, own it.
Yeah, we
are. You know, every time I hear people talking about alphas, you know the only thing I ever think of?
I don't know.
Revenge of the fucking Nerds.
Alpha betas.
Oh my god.
Yeah, alpha betas.
Alpha betas.
So wait, are you lambda lambda lambda? Is that who you are?
I have no problem being a nerd.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. They would get off my nerves too, but everybody on that show got on my nerves. All of them.
I thought you said on your nerds ever. I was like, what? On your nerds?
On the nerds.
No. You getting on your nerds?
No. No, my nerds aren't as big as Chuck's.
Well, you want to know what gets on my nerds?
What gets on your nerds, Sam?
How fucking hard you sleep, Aaron.
Oh.
Like, okay. We live in a duplex. Our neighbor is attached to us. And last night, the fire department was breaking down his door. And Aaron slept peacefully through it. And the dog's going freaking nuts and just barking, and they're pounding in the door next door, and Aaron's just,
yeah, it's my time,
and I'm like,
I gotta get
wow.
my sleep.
Yeah, it's my time.
Wow,
it has nothing to do with us. My body would, it would wake up right away if someone's busting in our door. It's on like a motherfucker. I'm like, Jason Statham. No
I
joke.
Almost
yep.
believe that.
I'll gently a motherfucker quick out of my sleep. Mm-hmm. They won't even know it hit them like a ninja. However, I knew it was next door. Subconsciously, my brain knew. It was like, dude, that's next door. It has nothing to do with you. We saw it happen earlier in the day when the ambulance came over there. So my brain already knew what was going on. And Leo always barks every night.
I know.
So you put that in my
head. And you always sleep through it.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. That's why I don't mind letting you get up and pick our daughter to school.
Yeah, it's my time.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny. I remember back when the older boys were little, mm-hmm. and giving them the fire alarm test like 20 minutes after they went to bed and setting up the smoke detectors in all of the house, and they didn't fucking move.
Right.
I was like, great, congratulations, you all just died.
Yeah. And I'm not the only one that didn't wake up. Our daughter, Eva, didn't.
Eva didn't wake up either.
She didn't wake up either. She doesn't wake up to her alarm either. She doesn't wake up. Mm-hmm. We sleep.
She got that from
But me. Look at this, almost 51. Sleep. Sleep. Yeah. How come I wasn't in the eye candy thing, by the way?
Because you talk.
Because you're in the talk. You're...
It's like you were branded pure comedy.
And welcome to Around the Reel.
Welcome to Around the Reel.
Oh, man. All right. Well, who's our guest today, guys?
Matt McKinney.
This guy.
Mr. Matt.
Wait, this guy. Which I don't know. Aaron, which way am I pointing on
Why
your screen?
Why do you always do that?
Point in every direction. Always, you know it works.
He always does that all the time. And I sit here and watch the videos of our show sometimes. I'm like, oh my God, why does he always
do that? I point wherever I see him. Like, Aaron, for you, you're over there.
Damn, it's fine. You're right.
Okay.
It's fine.
And then Sam's over here.
But we're all in this together. You know?
Sam's, are we going to pull out some High School Musical now?
We're on top.
Working.
I can't get that fucking emoji thing to work. Oh, you did it. I don't get it. I'm not even going to try
find it where you can.
Yeah.
Like an idiot trying. Anyway,
yeah, I don't care if I look like an idiot trying.
No, I
That's
mean I would.
You
no,
I.
You got. You can look cool.
If
doing
you go
that
a
stuff.
Lot, if you do it a lot, does that help?
Remember, Sam, your
I
eye
know
candy.
What the thumb one does. What does the thumb one do?
A thumbs up.
I don't know. Why were you going like this?
I don't know. I was trying to
That's what I was doing. Is if you do it a lot, does that
he
help?
He was doing it first.
He was like, you know, I got to get my lesson in there.
It's like, ooh, maybe I should take a minute here.
Rolling this together.
Yeah.
All right. What does this do?
It doesn't do anything. I tried that.
It doesn't do it. Aaron tries that one all the time.
No. For those of you listening to the show, Sam is flipping off the camera. So.
Yeah. For,
yeah.
For all you non
their own self-censorship.
Correct. All right. Well, let's get a show started here.
Then, let's do this.
Yeah. So we got Mr. Matt McKinney back with us. Matt, how the hell are you?
Oh, doing great.
Yeah? Yeah? What's been up with you? What you been doing?
Well, I've managed to go full force into the Well, so ironically enough, the workforce and everything, been stacking up money and everything, trying to get projects up and off the ground and whatnot. I am actually pleased to say, since I've been here last time, that I have been getting back into writing in a really strong way.
Sweet. Good for good you. For nice.
Very, very nice.
So like limericks, poetry, bathroom stalls, what are you writing?
Yeah. I'm writing everywhere. You just know it, yeah. Yeah. No, I've been getting my screenwriting up and going, and it's been an absolute blast. I love getting those ideas finally off the drawing board and actually putting context into them. So I'm amazed that I've been able to do that in such an efficient way over almost the last year.
That's nice. Fucking good. Good for you.
Yeah.
It makes a huge difference. So you seem like you have a very busy, busy schedule. You've got a lot of stuff you're always doing. And I remember when we were working together, there were certain things and times a day that you've got all this extra stuff in your life that you're doing. So my first question to you is, how the fuck are you doing that? Because a lot of people want to know how people who have day jobs and lives outside of filmmaking can keep up with it. Like, what is your process and how do you make time to do this craft?
So I'd say the most important thing overall is, and this will depend on everybody's preference of whether they like working day or night, because I've actually found myself in that position for the last couple of months where I was working swings into night and everything. But even just getting that like time window of like you get somewhere between like 4 to 5 hours of sleep and then you have like a little bit of the day and whatnot to work around, I do that to the best of my ability. Or if I'm feeling the energy level is there and I get home from work and I can do it just briefly and then feel like I can rest most of the time, you do that in little doses at a time until you start building a system around that. Basically, your body and your system just kind of follow from there, really. It's like an instinctual thing over time.
It is.
You get used to it.
Yeah. It is. No, good. Oh, yeah. That's very good. You know, I heard something the other day that really got me thinking about what we do habitually every day. So if you do, it's like, what's that, 100 rule or something it's called? Like if you do 18 minutes of the same thing every day, 100 times in a row, it becomes a part of you.
It becomes a habit, yeah.
Yep. So that's anything you do. So Chuck, for example, if you jerk off 18 minutes every fucking day, you won't stop jerking off the rest of it. Oh, wait. That's
you know what? I implemented that when I was young, so I got it down to like 2.5 minutes top.
Okay, so you're still working on that one. Okay, that's fine. But no, if you do something like that for filmmaking, if you took a half hour every day to do something, right? If you're writing a script or you're brainstorming an idea or you're working on some notes for something, if you're playing with the camera, anything that you do, I think would help push you down that road to success later. It's a very simple thing. Like with the gym, if you go to the gym and need to work out, just fucking commit every day, do something. So, and if you fall off of that, you're fucked.
Well, yeah, I think it just comes down to being consistent and disciplined enough to keep yourself through that. Because there's a little spot there where it's hard to do it. You know, like I don't fucking feel like it today, but you got to push through that, and then you got to push through it so many times, and then it will eventually, you'll just get used to it. Like people always ask how to, like firefighters and stuff, they work like the craziest, like 24, 48 hour freaking shifts. People are like, how do you do it? Well, their body, they get used to that schedule that they have, and your body can get used to any schedule you put it through if you're willing to bust your ass through that hard part.
You're right. And you're capable of doing anything that anybody else is doing. I think consistency makes you better at your craft or whatever it is that you're doing. So you may not have all the talent coming out of the door, let's say, when it's open. But if you were consistent the whole time where someone else had the talent up front but wasn't consistent, I think you would catch up with them, if not surpass them later.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Consistency is more important, I think, than anything.
Than anything.
If you can have consistency with something, you can do anything. Anything.
I agree. I agree 100%. So, yeah, Matt, I asked that question to you because I actually resigned from my job last week.
Yep, I saw that. Yep. I thought that was one of the bravest steps I've ever seen. It gets me to that point when I know I'm in a stable position in order to do that I want to... Eventually, I want to dive in knowing that I have something to fall back on, though. That's my big thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure, like a lot of people, they're always like, you want to get to that stage of your life, you know, where it's like, okay, you know, you're set. But then there's another thing of saying, if you just have something to fall back on and you know you have the confidence to go through with something and you know that can last you for however long you're going to do the thing that you want to do,
mm-hmm.
you just know you're going to have a lot more time to dedicate that thing. And, you know, eventually, you know, time will do what it needs to for you when you put the commitment into it.
I agree with that.
That's true. That's the planning way of doing it.
Yeah, however.
Or the responsible way of doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, however, there is no cushion for us over here.
No. Nope.
This was a decision I made for many reasons, but one of the biggest ones for me is because, hey, I didn't like what I was doing, and I don't like working for other people, and I don't have any passion for it. I don't think it's fair. Not for me, but for the people that I was working with or the employees that I was supervising.
Or the people at home that you bring it home to.
Yeah, that, you know, I'm how am I doing them a service of being a good employee or even a colleague if I have zero passion for it? I'm faking it every fucking day. And I think that is a disgusting thing to do for them and myself.
Well, you're just not someone that's able to do it.
No.
A lot of people can do it.
Yeah, go ahead, Chuck.
For instance, Aaron, some female porn stars get paid a lot of money for faking it every day.
True that,
Trump. Thank you. Thank you for that input.
And I guess you being an employee, you consider yourself very much the same way.
Yeah. And granted, I know that
I'm just going to work and getting fucked.
I brought a vibe to that office I was working at that I think the employees that I had under me that looked up to me for a supervisor they were pleased to have me around because I talk like them.
They
understood that they had somebody who was real. It's like, hey, this is a job, guys. This isn't who you are. You know,
yeah.
I respected their home life more than I did their work life. They needed time off. They got it. I totally understood. You know, I wouldn't pressure anybody to feel bad about not showing up at their job. But at the same time, the only reason I could do that is because I could give a fuck. You understand? <Yeah. laughs> You know what I mean?
Like, I'm at the top of the food chain here.
Yeah, I didn't care. I didn't care about the. It wasn't passionate for me. Now, if we were on set and making a movie, and I had people going, hey, can I get the time off? I can't come. I'm like, you committed, motherfucker. You got to be here.
Yeah. Oh, like, this my is my God. Time. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
What? But
that is the difference between having a passionate like dive into what you're doing and when you don't.
You were such a good manager because you were not a good manager?
Right. Wow. And that's the system I was working in. It sucks. It sucks. Yeah,
it's you're like, do whatever the fuck you want. I hate it.
Yeah, anyway, and they loved me for it. And they fucking love me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so because you don't get that anywhere else because you got people who are passionate about being a manager in most places. And they would take it probably like I would as a director on set or a showrunner on something. You see what I'm saying? That makes sense?
No.
It doesn't make sense?
No, not really.
It's important to talk about then because I think it matters. Because if you're passionate about something, you're gonna give it your all, and you're gonna be very.
I give everything my all anyway. I mean, I don't. I just do.
Yeah,
that's just how I am.
Yeah, I know you do because you have this sense of loyalty beyond yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, you.
Is there a problem with having
no, like, not at all.
Self standards.
Not at all. But I put my feelings on the top tier where you would put yours on the lower tier, if that makes sense.
Okay.
You know, where you would sacrifice how you feel to make someone else happy. Where I'm like, hey, wait a minute, I want to be happy too. You see
I'm
what I
mean? I'm
going
to quit my job and I'm going to go do the awesome thing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where at the same time, Aaron will sacrifice everybody's feelings to be happy.
Not everybody. There's quite a few, but not everybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's a list.
There's a good list. Yeah, there's a good list. Anyway, I think that's important to like picture. Like, if you know you're like not taking your job seriously, or whether it's filmmaking or something else, I don't think it's for you.
Right.
And that's why I quit my job, because it wasn't for me. I wasn't taking it seriously enough. But filmmaking, I do.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Like, you can commit yourself to it. You know exactly what you want to do with it. You're going to keep exploring different avenues and whatnot along the way and whatnot to just keep bettering yourself. And that's what the riot is every day in filmmaking, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
It is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So what are you writing, Matt? So what are you working on?
So I give some teasers for this because it's in a good development stage right now, and I want to make sure I lock them down so that the ideas don't slip away. But one of the funnier, actually two of the funnier ones and whatnot, One is essentially going to be a good television show that's going to be a buddy cop movie or buddy cop show about a guy that has a good, to his understanding, a good telepathic connection with his dog that's also with him originally on the force before they become private detectives.
Okay.
And then the small teaser that I think I'm looking at for the end of every episode is going to be this deeper meaning to the dog has this like secret sort of like aspect thing that goes like generations back to where he's like a different, not necessarily species, but like a very like specialized like breed of dog that has more of a speech center and everything, but he doesn't let his partner know that and everything. The partner thinks that basically they have a good like telepathic connection and everything, not knowing that he has like human like attributes and everything.
Got it.
And it just becomes this funny thing at the reveal when essentially the first season ends and he's like, what?
So this is a show based one that you're doing.
This is going to be a show based good buddy cop movie. I like it. So I honestly will give the title for this one because I love this more than anything, even the other one. I'm calling it Pups and Walker.
Pups and Walker.
Yeah. The good,
I love the that.
Good buddy cop show coming fall.
Sweet.
That's great, dude.
So there's that. One that I've had in my retail days, even still to today, which that's a good conversation I actually have right now, is the owners of the retail stuff that I've been doing mainly on the weekend are looking like they're going to buy out soon. So it's looking like I'll actually get some weekends back for a good long while.
Oh, wow.
But I get a good buyout out of that. They're really passionate people about making sure that people are handled even when they go out of business. So I'm like, ooh, I will take that.
Yeah.
That benefits me for the most.
Hell yeah, it does.
I tell them, you have no idea.
No, that's gangster. That's cool.
Yeah, like a severance package, bro? Is that what they call them?
Kinda
severance
like
package?
Looking.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thing, yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
You know what? That's props to them for that.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
No, they're really passionate people. The people that have been with them through thick and thin for, hell, even 5 years or above that and whatnot, that have done more than anybody would ever expect at times, they're like, we'll help you along the way in any which way you can. Like, if life really gets tough and whatnot, you think we can help you and whatnot, we will sacrifice night and day to do it for you.
Wow.
That's good.
I've never worked anywhere like that before.
No.
Yep.
No.
The ride or die bosses.
Well, I'm the ride or die employee that
yes,
just gets
yes.
like stomped on
right?
consistently.
Again,
like,
because you put your stuff down here and
mm-hmm.
then make
I mean,
sure they
I'm
feel good.
Yeah, it's my
it's
own
like,
fault.
I put my stuff up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the other one though that's been with me since the early days in the retail business, it's essentially a new like sci-fi like crime aspect take on a what's the best way to word this? A good like reimagining of Charlie's Angels.
Oh no joke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm calling it Clerk's Angels. It has that cool like double meaning where it's like the guy who is discovered to be these three women's father and everything later in life, whose name is Clarence, but then their cover is basically like working in the retail business as a secret cover during the day.
Gotcha.
It sounds like fun to be in your head.
Yeah, no, you
oh yeah,
stuff.
No, it's really something. So like the unique idea about all of them really is like, so like what is it? I have like the three good characters. One is based off my Nana, who also works at the station and whatnot, just because she's retired and she really does never want to stop working. She's just built like that.
Gotcha.
So one of my coworkers though, or actually they're all technically coworkers, even though some of them have gotten into like different stages of that business now. One of them, because of her good personality, is called Mouse Woman.
So you're you base this like your stories. You base these off of like your experiences in a way, in a sense.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean, like people's personalities like bring out characteristics and they express them, and I'm like, I can work with that.
That's a good character in my story.
Yeah. Well, so
I'd like to dive a little bit more into this Mouse Woman. What characteristics does Mouse Woman have that makes her so that she seems friendly instead of just like something that wants to steal your shit?
So. The idea is that she's like in real life, she's built in like a basically like smaller figure kind of person, basically not like very tiny, just like petite. You know, pretty like
little.
Like, yeah, yeah, that's a good term.
Okay, I'm gonna say this and be awkward for everybody, like Filipino, because the lady who did my ultrasound today, her Anna, she was a Filipino, amazing young lady, and she was like 4'8".
Yeah, you almost stepped on her.
Tiny. Yeah, they're tiny.
And I was like, "Excuse me, little lady,
I gotta get around here." Yeah, so. Yeah, built pretty like petite like and everything like that, smaller figure, but is like has like really like a like darty kind of personality and everything like that, so she's just like really focused and everything.
She makes up with and her so, height with her personality.
Yeah, they don't fuck around. Yeah, and then Filipino and then I'm giving
yeah, and then I'm giving like for what is it? And then I'm giving them like all like very like animalistic type like complexions and everything for like in a very minor way to some and then very like noticeable details to others. So like Mouse Woman has like a good like has a good like tail and whatnot that she's able to hide, so she's kind of like this like leveling character to that degree, but is able to hide characteristics, but you know internally has those animal like instincts and everything as well. And then what was it, and then and then Cat Lady, who's based off her best friend, who was another co-worker, has very distinct features and everything to like to very like what is it like a cat-like face. Yeah, see, shot it. Like cat-like face and everything like that, so she's like the one that's like really on the run and everything just through like normal life and everything, because she's like, nobody can see me like this because they don't understand. It's just a natural characteristic and everything. It's what it is.
I have to be in the kitchen right now.
Yeah, it's like I gotta bounce. And then the final one, which has like a double meaning to it, but and it was based off a funny joke that happened with a completely unrelated coworker and everything, called Gopher Throw, where she there was this woman that had this very, I don't even know how to describe it. She had a very like agile like personality with being like a bigger figure type person, everything. It was like my nana asked her one day, it was like, so what would you do if we were like getting robbed or something like that? And she's like, just go for throat.
Go for throat.
Hey you guys. Coach Rick here. Are you giving your gifts? Question I like to ask at the top of Coach's Corner mid segment installment for Around the Reel. Hello, it's been a while. Let me welcome myself back. I have missed the Around the Reel realm. I have. It's been a while since I've been here, as I just said. And I'm hoping to come back more regularly. We'll see how that goes. Life keeps lifing sometimes, and all sorts of things happen. No excuses here, but here I am. Who am I? Coach Rick. Who's Coach Rick? I am an actor. I'm an acting coach. I'm also a life coach and a business coach. I've done that for decades as well, and I have acting classes that I hold every week. I do 3 classes a week now, 2 in person, 1 on Zoom. And I've been doing that every week for 8 years, almost 8 years. Started out with my Monday night class for many, many years. And then I've added, as I said, Zoom, and then another in-person class. So I come at it from that perspective. Of personal growth, personal development, craft development, art development. I believe that's what we're here to do. We artists, right? This is who our general audience is with Around the Reel. So I'm doing my best to provide any sort of nuggets that may contribute to you, your life, your craft, your art. We as filmmakers, who I believe most of us are, but you don't have to be. I hope we got musicians. I hope we got dancers. I hope we just have artists. You're all important. You all matter, especially because who you are is unique. What you have to offer is unique, because there's only one you, right? So with that, What do I talk about? That's always been something for me. And I've, you know, I think I've had some good ideas along the way. But I am open to suggestions. So if you have any thoughts on things you might like to hear me speak about, please feel free to reach out. You can reach out to Aaron or anyone on Around the Reel. You can also reach me directly, thecoachrick@gmail.com, thecoachrick@gmail.com. I basically use that only, you know, for this. I'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, concerns, questions, anything. Think of me as Dear Abby, only Dear Rick. Sounds weird. I'll go with Dear Abby. But something that has come up, I maybe even have mentioned it in the previous installment. I don't know. But I don't think I've given it like its own spotlight. And that's something I discovered. It's not mine. I probably should have taken the time to figure out who his name is. But there's a video on Instagram. And he shares what he calls the 100-hour rule. And that is, whatever your discipline, whatever your craft, if you were to focus on that, practice, if you will, that 18 minutes a day. You heard me right. 18 minutes a day. That'll get you to 100 hours in the year. I think it's a little over 100 hours. But who cares? We'll round down, as it were, in this case. Part of me is like, well, why not just make it 20? If you're at 18, another 2 minutes, that'll bump you up even more. But his point is, if you were to do 18 minutes a day, every day, in your discipline, in your craft, in your art, maybe you play the guitar, maybe you play the piano, maybe you dance, maybe you paint, maybe you act. Maybe you're a public speaker. Maybe you're not in the arts. Maybe you're a ping pong player. Whatever your discipline, 18 minutes a day. That will put you in the top 5% of your field. That doesn't seem like a huge trade-off to be in the top 5%. I mean, when you look at it from that perspective, it seems kind of small. That's not a lot of time every day. 20 minutes. Sorry, 18. That's not even 20. 18 minutes. What does it look like? Now, being involved in life coaching and business coaching, I do know that the hard part, the difficult part, is the everyday part for a lot of us. That's okay. Just because it's difficult doesn't mean you're not capable, right? Is it Napoleon Hill said that anything worth having is worth working hard for? I don't think 18 minutes a day is that hard. I think more of us will probably find that it's not really enough time. Well, I'm going to take more time. And I think that's okay too. But I think, you know, 4 hours in one setting and then not doing anything for the rest of the week is not as good as 18 minutes a day or 20 or 15, right? The important thing is that you touch it every day. The important thing is that you connect with it every day. That. And from my... what I'm starting to call my grand experiment of having my class, because I never planned on being an acting coach. I never planned on teaching acting. I don't think I teach. I think I'm a coach. Because when you walk in my door, you're an actor already. Like I tell my students, I'm not going to teach you anything because you have it all inside you already. I think we all do. We just need to uncover and discover that. How do we do that? We practice. We connect every day. We touch base every day. We commune every day with our artist's soul. To bottom line it quickly, our heart, our soul, our art. That. You want to be the best. You wouldn't be doing this if you didn't want to, right? Now, maybe you want some fame. I won't begrudge you that. I lived in that for a long time. I'm not interested in any of that right now. I want millions of people to see my work. I'll do without the fame. I wish we could make that happen. I wish we could create that world. Maybe that's for another conversation, because I do believe that's the world I'm contributing to constructing right now. Very different from the one we live in. Just because we're living in it now doesn't mean it needs to stay that way, ladies and gentlemen. We're here to change this planet. We're here to change this industry. We're here to change everything. It's not going to happen unless we do it, though. It's not going to happen unless we commit to it. It's not going to happen unless we say, this is what I'm up to. I'm actually here to change the system. I'm actually here to improve on the system. I'm actually here to evolve the system. That is what we are here to do. My computer is doing something. Excuse me here. I just want to get that off the screen. Thank you. Boy, I hope I didn't lose anybody, because there we are. We're back. Sorry, technical difficulties. Says we're still recording. So, 100 hour rule. Very interesting, huh? Not a lot. We're not talking about, you know, bodybuilders hours and hours a day pumping iron hard, you know, in the gym. I believe that consistency will definitely bring you to. Now, surround yourself with like-minded people. Find coaches, mentors, all of that. Yes, absolutely. But commit. Make a commitment to yourself. Make a commitment to your art. Make a commitment to your craft. Make a commitment to humanity. Because in my opinion, that's who you're really doing it for anyway. You create your art for yourself. Absolutely. Boy, I'm blanking on his name. Another guy on Rick Rubin, I believe is his name. Big beard, right? He says, you know, he creates art for himself, not for the audience. That's the mistake. If you're trying to do it for what's going to please them, what's going to make them happy. Not that that perspective isn't important, I think, for we as storytellers and filmmakers to consider. But I don't want it to be the ultimate drive. If you make this for yourself, by doing that, because of your own uniqueness, you're doing the best possible thing you can for the audience. That's pretty freaking mind-blowing. But you have to believe that you're important enough. You have to believe that you matter enough. You have to believe that you are that much of a contribution, because you are. You matter. You're special. You're unique. You're one of a kind. Run with that. I love you. God bless you. Till next time, around the Riolandia.
Okay. I love the details and like the organization of it. Like they all have these animalistic characteristics and cool names and just that's pretty cool. I actually really like that.
What's the name of that classic story with the barn with the pigs and all that?
Charlotte's Web?
Charlotte's Web?
I don't know if it's that one or no. There's another one that's like a political thing with the animals.
Political thing with the animals.
Yeah.
Oh.
I can't remember,
and everybody's going to think we're fucking stupid now.
They're like, why are you not knowing this movie?
Yeah, this was a big novel back in the day, and then and it's a political story. I can't remember what it is now, but it reminded me of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So the other, like, prime detail before they all go off and become a team and everything eventually, the prime detail that's actually fleshed out the most at the moment, basically, is upon their meeting, they all have, like, a very like confused sense of reality of like, wait, this seems all familiar and everything, like their distinct appearances and everything like that, and then their abilities that like pop out and everything, and then the reveal and everything that brought them together is finding like a secret message and whatnot left by their father Clarence and whatnot. It's like, yeah, I was the spy and everything, and then all this other stuff went wrong, and it wasn't ever an intentional thing of why I had to leave. It just needed to be. And then I'm determining whether or not I want to leave him dead or if I want it to be like that unique cliffhanger. But
well, don't
I feel
give
like
it all him- away.
Yeah. I was gonna say, now next he's gonna pull out the pitch deck.
Yeah,
exactly.
I know, just cool. PowerPoint drawn.
See, I thought you were gonna go back to, you were gonna say like their connection was, and you were gonna go back to the job, the work. Like, since
well,
they're
see,
all
and,
basically
yeah,
people
see,
you
in
were.
Essence, that's how I want the resolution to really end. Okay. Is them in the station and everything, but it's depending on if I want another key character there or if I want that to hold on its own merits, because I want the key concept behind the idea originally in taking the inspiration for the idea from Charlie's Angels is I want it to be way more fleshed out for the characterizations of who they are and not just, oh, we're badass and everything for the sake of being badass. Like, we have real emotional depth in the way that they've lived their lives and everything like that, building up to like them finding connections to one another and then seeing that they could be stronger in certain instances together where some of their weaknesses may have fallen before and everything. I want it to really a good characterization around that is what I'm looking for in that story.
I love your character development. That's my favorite thing about movies, period. And stories, period. Yeah. I love character development. So, good job. That. All right. That's great.
So, I looked
Aaron,
up
Aaron's trying to figure out how to make a mouse a cat and a gopher look badass.
So, the movie I was talking about that reminds me of what he's kind of doing is Animal Farm. It was George Orwell's thing back in the day, 1945.
Why do I know?
Yeah.
Gee, no wonder we don't remember the book from 1945.
No, they made a cartoon about it. It was a movie that came out like in the 80s. That's why I remember it. It tells the story of a group of anamorphic farm animals who rebel against their human farmer, hoping to create a society where the animals can be equal, free, and happy.
Me and Chuck are like, Charlotte's Web!
Yeah.
Yeah, we never heard of that shit.
Yeah. It's a George Orwell.
Everybody
story.
In the comments will say, Animal Farm!
Yeah. It's Animal Farm.
Never heard of
no,
that.
That's interesting,
no,
dude.
That is, yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. So
very
you
fun.
You said some stuff there, because I always ask like people who write, how do they write? So you mentioned, right. You know, you've got like the beginning going, you've got the ending kind of sketched out. I've never done that. Never. Yeah. When I write, I just get down, it's blank, and I just start writing. Like there's a scene in my head and I'm like, let me just write this. I have no idea where that character's going or where they're going to head to. Sometimes I've had an ending in mind, you know, or or something in my head, like a sequence. And I'm like, okay, that'd be a cool ending, but that's basically it. And I write to get to that ending. That's it.
Yeah. See, and there are some stories where I feel more comfortable doing it than others. It's like, I'm like taken back to like my college days and everything with this idea where there's some like acceptance that I've grown to basically see to a degree where I find myself in this place of like, okay, I agree with that and everything now because I see where they're trying, where professors try to like lead the line with that. But at the same time, it's one of those things where I'm like, yeah, but sometimes you have to diverge from the formula, because if you're trying to sit there thinking sometimes purely on character, but you're not seeing any storyline pop up, you got to like kind of like weave that together as you kind of go and whatnot, bringing it back to, ironically enough, the web.
Correct. Yeah, I think and there's an element there that I think is fun as a writer if you... You're kind of watching it play in real time. You're watching something come to life in front of you that you had no idea almost beforehand what it's going to be, even though you're fucking writing it. You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting there writing something and I have no idea what the next line's going to be, where they're going to go, who's going to come in and say what event's going to happen, what crisis. I have no idea. And all of a sudden it happens. I'm like, oh shit, this is dope. But it's coming out of my head.
Yeah. You're like, I'm seeing it in real time. This is getting written down.
How did I not know this before? I just said, fucking yeah, this is dope. You know what I'm saying? It's so funny. It's weird. And I love that part of it. That's why I don't alter the way I do it, because I get to watch the movie as I'm writing it.
Yeah. See, I'm reminded more recently, especially after, after seeing Dune Part 2, like, and hearing Denis Villeneuve talk and everything, where he was saying something around the lines of like, yeah, so we got done with the movie. We like saw the premiere and I kind of see where he's coming from with this. It's like, it's a shame that he has to feel this way, but I get from the perspective. He's like, yeah, now that I've watched it at the premiere with a good large audience of, I don't even know, 500 to 1,000 people or something like that, he's like, okay, now I can't watch the movie again because I've already watched it like 100 times since I made it.
Right, like, exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
You know what?
I don't know. Aaron can always go back and watch his shit. He watches everything. He microbot watches everything because he's the editor too.
Yeah, I'm at a plot point here.
I don't watch our stuff very often. I really don't.
I mean, he does watch. If it's a small clip, he will.
Yeah, clips of it. But yeah, I wouldn't. No. Yeah, I won't watch it anymore after we make it. That's what's weird. But I'll go back and watch movies. That way, I was watching Point Break last night.
Right.
Yeah.
95% of Aaron's movies he watches are movies he's already seen, or 85.
Yeah, it helps. It helps push my personal favorite stuff. Right.
It goes with your stuff. Yes.
Yeah. So if I
cannot watch a movie that many times.
Well, yeah, but like watching Point Break, there's things they say, the way the sequences are.
I'm just like, I've Catherine seen
Bigelow's
that shit.
Directing. Some of the dialogue, some of the Gary Busey and Keanu Reeves's back and forth are so great. And I'm like, See, that's the, I can't forget that stuff because we're on set. That'll help me when I got two actors doing something. I'm like, act like those guys did in Point Break. Do you remember that? You know? And
they'll be like, what's Point Break? And you'd be like, oh my God. Yeah, and then you know, we're watching a movie on my phone.
But then I can explain it and then I can show them on my phone. And the next thing you know, they're like, oh, okay, I get it, Aaron. You know, it helps. It helps me.
Yeah.
But it also, when I go back and watch them, it reminds me of why I do this.
Yep.
You know, because it pulls me all the way back. And I'm like, God, I remember I was in high school when that came out, or just graduated high school. I remember the theater I went to see it. I remember I saw it 3 times in the theater. I wanted to jump out of a plane at that point in my life. I never did.
How do you feel about that now?
No, I'm not going to fucking do that shit. Yeah.
He's like, stay
down. What a unique adventure.
I cannot do the same shit over and over and over, and I can't watch the same movie over and over and over. But Aaron has a good point when I say that, because he always says we listen to the same song over and over. Well, yeah, I can listen to the same song on repeat for days.
Yeah.
Why is that? It's so weird. But a movie, I will not watch it. If I've seen it, I've seen it.
Yeah. But it's your thing. Some people read the same novel over and over and over.
Rare books that I would read twice.
Yeah. I wouldn't read a book again. But
I would, but it'd have to be pretty fucking special.
Yeah. I think everybody has their thing they like to do over and over and over. And there's
I guess. I mean, yeah. I guess.
Well,
and contrary to Aaron's conversation earlier in the show, it's not masturbation for me. I enjoy a movie once in a while, too. I also enjoy nice long walks through the woods.
That Aaron will not do.
Not gonna do that.
He's like, I can't be
not
in
yet.
The woods.
No.
Not yet.
If I'm not filming a movie, I ain't going out there. Nope, there's no reason. Even though, yesterday, I saw some pictures of someone camping, and I showed Sam. I'm like, see, this looks
like,
kind of fucking cool.
There's like, yeah, it looks like fucking camping.
Yeah, there was a creek though, and then there was this tent thing, and then they had all this food out on this grill and the fire, and I'm like, I would do that. But then I started thinking about
camping.
Yeah, but then they do other stuff that I don't want to do, like the hiking thing, or let's go look somewhere. I don't give a fuck. Let's just stay at the campsite. Let's just stay here and read and see if we can get a Wi-Fi signal, and then we could just do something here. If we can't, that's fine. We play some games,
get
eat some
Wi-Fi
food,
signal.
Go to sleep, yeah. Wake
guys,
up.
You see what I deal with? If you want to go camping with me, just email around the reels. 253@gmail.com.
Yeah, see if we get a signal. We can do a podcast out there.
I need a fucking camping buddy.
He says, okay, how many forms of communication do we have in the woods? I need to establish that before I go on a walk with some random
fuck
person.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. Be smart about it. Get out there and your phone don't work. Next thing you know, you got like this dude in a mask chasing you with a fucking banjo. I don't need that shit.
The best adventures you've had are the ones I've taken you on. So.
No, fair enough.
That's true.
They're memorable.
Also remember, if you do decide to go in the woods, Aaron, and you think, oh, you know what? I'm just going to put a GoPro on so I can film what I'm experiencing out here. Remember, that's where found footage movies come from.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Reiterating that movies are real. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. No, I have the hard enough movies, time
wait,
with
wait,
this.
They are?
Some movies are real.
You know what? You and Aaron need to get married.
You know what's funny, though?
Samantha, look over your left shoulder for me.
Why?
Look over your left shoulder for me.
Okay.
Oh, no!
That movie is real. That's real life movie right there. Not every movie is a narrative.
Oh, that's
I know.
Some things are real life.
That's why I like documentaries. That's why I make documentaries.
Well, let me ask you, would you watch a documentary over and over and over?
No.
Okay, great.
She was like, I've seen it. I'm good.
I'm pretty good. I mean, I'm sure there's one out there I would watch over and over, but yeah. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Actually, you get excited, though, sometimes. There'll be a doc or something you watch, and you're like, you got to watch this one. And then you'll sit down and watch it again with me. Mm-hmm. That's what I do with movies.
It's different when you're introducing somebody to something. Like, I do that with movies, too. It's like, I'll sit down, oh, my gosh, you got to watch this movie.
Yeah, it's fun, right?
And that's a little bit different.
Aaron, in the first 3 minutes, is talking about his future watches. He's like, oh, I got to watch this with Dylan, and I got to watch this with Joe, and I got to watch this with Ethan, I got to watch this with Wyatt, I got to watch this with Matthew.
Yeah,
that's he's great. Already talking about the 10
gotta
more
watch this
times.
With Billy Bob. 10 more times
he's going to watch this shit.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm like, fun. Oh, geez, okay.
Sam's like, I can't make it through the first viewing, honey. Bye.
I barely yeah. do. Yeah, like.
Call me on round 4.
He's like, when will you watch movies with me? I'm like, well, watch something I haven't seen.
She is so and not I might that watch bad. It. You are not that bad. She is so sweet. She's been watching more and more stuff with me all the time. She's just talking crap.
But
we've been having a blast watching stuff lately.
We have watched some good stuff.
We
lately.
Sure as fuck have, and you know it. That, it's been fun. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, there, Matt, did you know there's a 2014 movie from the Blair Witch Project director that was called Exists, and it's about Bigfoot? Did you know that?
I don't think I did. That one's actually
okay.
Watch it.
Watch that fucking movie. I really never good. Heard of it. And I was on fucking Twitter, X, and somebody had posted fucking, hey, anybody didn't see this movie? You're missing out. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? Because I'm a terrified of Bigfoot, right? So I look it up, and then it's the director of The Blair Witch. I'm like, what the fuck? Found footage. What the fuck? Bigfoot. And it's great.
It's so good.
It's fucking scary. Nice. It's nightmarish. Underrated it's intense as fuck. I never even heard of the damn thing. See, that's the beauty of the
it's
internet
well
right there.
Yeah.
Beauty of it. Yep. Man.
But I was there. I was
so hats off to Elon Musk again?
No.
No, just social media in general.
No one's saying that.
You're never going to know where you find something. I have all the social media just for that reason and that reason alone.
I
you
do
know?
Not have
trailers.
Twitter. Never
fucking
have.
People talking about movies. That's the only reason I can give a fuck about everything else. I just
but I'm stuck on
fun.
The movie we saw before that.
Which one was that?
With Shia LaBeouf.
Oh,
however the
fuck
you say his name.
Peanut Butter Falcon.
Yeah, Peanut Butter Falcon's badass.
Oh,
that is so
yeah,
good.
God. I forgot
loved
about that.
Loved that one.
That was fucking great.
Yeah.
Chuck, you're not acting like
I haven't
seen
that
it.
One.
Oh my god, take Jen and go watch it mm-hmm. because you guys will love it. It's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah, Shia LaBeouf is a badass in that. And that story is ridiculous. It's good. It's really good. You'll love it, Chuck.
Or Sophia will love it too. And take all you guys. Just all you guys go sit in the living room and watch that movie because
yeah.
it's great.
Yeah, you'll cry your eyes out. And it's
so
it feels good.
Good.
It's heartwarming as fuck. It's so good.
So good.
So good.
It's got a Down syndrome guy in it, and he is so good.
Yeah,
he's
his acting
so
is
good.
Fucking great.
You're like, what?
Yeah.
It's impressive, yeah.
yeah.
It's
very,
good,
very
good,
good,
good movie.
Love that movie.
Yeah.
I'll give everybody here one of the craziest recommendations that I knew I wanted to watch it, but after I was seeing, like, most of the reaction people that I see watch this recently, and then usually when I see reactions to movies, it's like you don't usually react in a more like either aggressive or like sadful sort of way and everything because you're like you're not fully invested in the movie because you're seeing somebody else do it. But the movie, The Iron Claw,
I want to watch that so bad.
Oh,
that's
okay,
the
yeah.
fucking wrestling one I was telling you.
Yeah,
with the four brothers.
Yes, it's one of the first instances in the world. Like it's one of those rare instances where I'm like, for people that like know Zac Efron and everything, they think, oh, you know, he's done good things and whatnot.
Yeah.
I'm like, he threw himself into that role.
Oh man, it looks fantastic. Wow. And
like,
and it's the dude from the Bear. Sam, remember I told you? The
yeah,
bear, the guy from the
White,
Bears.
Yeah,
yes.
he's,
and
oh,
he's
really?
Fucking
oh.
phenomenal.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're gonna watch
yeah.
that tonight. We need to watch it.
Yeah, it's one of the like. You think like because people that like go and look at the story, they're like, "Oh, that sounds sad," but then you see the depiction of how they go about it and everything, and it subtly like passes the years and everything. You're
mm-hmm.
like, "Oh, yeah."
I am down for it.
Just...
I like boxing, fighting movies.
It would be more like Peanut Butter Falcon. It's a drama. It's serious.
No,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I like those kind
it's
of films.
Deadly
yeah.
serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It looks great though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm not even gonna Google it. I don't want to know nothing about this.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks dope.
Okay.
I want to see that too. Yeah, Zac Efron will surprise the shit out of you. He's actually a really good actor.
Yeah, he's coming up, and it's one of those rare instances where it's like, I mean, it's kind of the same for Jeremy Allen White, where it's like,
mm-hmm.
this is one of those instances where it's like, yeah, you know, for Hollywood actors that bulk up and everything, I'm like, guys, you don't look anything like you do in your normal life when you're bulked up in that movie. My God.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Well, funny. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I remember seeing the first behind the scenes thing where somebody caught Zach coming out of the dressing room with a towel wrapped around him.
They're like, what the fuck?
Overly tanned and you know, shoulders out
just
like the Hulk.
As fuck, yeah.
And the bowl cut from the fucking 70s.
Yeah.
And
they're
like, yeah, he looks
what the
bad
fuck
out.
Did Zach do to himself?
Yeah.
He's like, I went super far down the rabbit hole.
Some people do go super far. They go to extreme lengths sometimes to play these parts these actors do in Hollywood. I think that's the Hollywood thing that's different from, you know, like what we do. I mean, they literally buff up like crazy and they get skinny like crazy. Like
Christian
what
Bale
was that
did
one
it.
Christian
Bale.
Bale that looked like a sick drug addict?
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey did it, and then he's had problems since.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey had problems after he lost all the weight for...
Because it's not good for your body.
New players, though?
I think so.
Something like that.
It's not good for your body to do that.
No.
But that's, I guess that's where the money comes in, where it, you know, that's the danger, hence the pay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and for Hugh Jackman, playing Wolverine launched his career. His passion is in musical theater, and now he has a hard time singing from all the rough stuff he's done with his voice to be
Wolverine.
Yeah.
So it's like, shit.
What have you done today?
That's why those actors get paid astronomical amounts of money.
Yeah, and that's why he said, fuck it, I'll just be Wolverine again, and he's now going to be Wolverine again.
Yeah.
It's
journey right
It's
there.
Crazy, though, what kind of lengths they go to play these parts. It's insane.
It's all relative, though, don't you think? Kind of like, I mean, look at the lengths we go to where we're on this real life level still trying to make films for a living. And the lengths we go to do that, it just carries over. I think it always just escalates, you know? That when you get there, you're going to be pushing yourself to do something more and more and more, I think. I don't think I would do it. You know what I mean? I wouldn't lose my weight or gain weight.
I probably wouldn't do that to my body, no.
Yeah. I mean, gaining weight, I wouldn't mind doing. But, yeah, like losing weight like that to play a role, fuck that. No. Couldn't do it.
Yeah. You're like, there's a tipping point to that. You're like, if I can get down to a pretty stable level where I know I'm, like, physically active and everything like that, and I know I'm maintaining what I need to and everything to stay healthy, then it's like, okay, I'll do that. But when somebody is actively telling you in an instance where it's like, hey, you good? That's when I'm like... Yeah, it's probably good to step up a little bit finally now from where you're at.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look at Joaquin Phoenix when he did Joker.
Yeah.
He had an apple and a half a cup of rice a day for like a month to lose weight. Now, the other thing is these guys also are under doctor care while they do it to make sure that nothing bad happens.
True,
but it still ain't good
for you.
Yeah.
I've seen some of these actors have gone one time they're like skinny as... They're just meat. They're just bones and freaking skin. And then the next time you see them, they're all buffed out. And it's like, how that? That's quick for that.
I don't know what magic they got down there. They do some shit.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it. And good, they're under doctor's care. Well, they should be because that is not good for your body. You could kill yourself doing that. Yeah.
We would kill ourselves.
I would kill myself trying to do that shit.
Yeah, you say, hey, Mr. Christian Bale, so how exactly did you go from the Machinist at, like, 105 pounds and you go to the Dark Knight? You're just like, yeah, how'd you do that, bro? You'd like 205 pounds.
Right. My only weight fluctuation has been pregnancy. That's it. Like, I'll gain, like 50 pounds and then I lose 50 pounds in 9 months' time. That's my extreme miracle body change.
Fast
fluctuate 20 pounds every other month.
What? That's great.
I live in a constant flux between 268 and 248.
I mean, I guess it's probably okay if it's more of a natural one, but I like it. These guys sometimes, like, they go and they work out, like, so hard to get where they're, to get all buffed out and stuff, and then they starve themselves so hard to get all skinny. That stuff's not healthy, I don't think.
And see, I don't think you would do that for a normal day job.
No.
You know, if your boss came to you and he said, hey, guess what? I need you to gain 50 pounds.
I mean, I've done some crazy things for my job.
Would you do it?
You good, boss?
You know? Yeah. Hey, Chuck, you're a manager, you're a supervisor, you run your own crews building houses. But guess what, man? We need you to gain 50 pounds this next year for you to keep this job for another year after. And then after that, we want you to lose that 50 again. You going to do it?
Not happening.
Depends on what kind of script we can come up with around the same time, so it makes sense in my mind.
I was just kind of thinking about it, and I was like, you know, I probably would. I'm so loyal. I probably would.
And I wouldn't. I'd be like, fuck you, no. But these actors, they so love these characters. They want to portray them so well that they will put in that sacrifice.
And that's why they say the actors get paid so well, because they live that life.
They live that part.
Being an actor.
Yep.
And sometimes that means living your life when you're not acting as still an actor.
Yeah.
Whether that means conditioning for whatever your part. Yeah, yeah. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, you're always an actor, I guess, in that world.
You got to have that edge to do that stuff, you know, to take those kind of...
You got to sell your soul.
Yeah. Well, I don't know
if it's selling your soul.
You got to sell your soul. And guess what? Today you are going to go ghost riding.
I wonder.
I didn't look at it that way.
You know, I get selling your soul if you're like, hey, you know, I want to be an actor. And they're like, okay, yeah, come in the room with me. I've got this dick here. I want you to do something to it. And then I'll give you this role. That is selling your soul to me. But someone who's got a part and they want to sacrifice who they are and their own well-being to make that performance the best thing. I don't know if that's selling your soul. That seems like commitment to me.
I mean, it's commitment on another level.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
In other words, selling your soul.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I mean, what are you willing to risk is the question. Because honestly, some of this shit, you don't know. Like, you can die from shit that they
I watched my dad die at a young age working in a foundry because he was breathing in all these fucking crappy things because he needed a paycheck.
So did he sell his soul to that foundry?
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think he did, but he did.
Yeah.
Then if we're going off of your theory there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. That's crap. But I mean, in a sense, you do have to kind of sell your soul in this world sometimes, because you got to live, and sometimes you got to do things you don't want to fucking do to live. And that's the job thing that we were talking about that a lot of people have to do. You know, not everyone's creative. Not everyone can take the chances, like,
correct.
You know, to go, not everyone trusts themselves to go, oh, I can make it, you know. The creative world is a hard world to make it in.
Unless,
to be honest,
of course,
there's a lot of creative people.
Unless, of course, they took 18 minutes every fucking day.
and was consistent
about it. And one day they would be ready.
Get that consistency going.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
And I think there's a huge difference between selling your soul to raise your status level or what you're doing or where you are seen in your life versus the other ones who actually sacrifice their life for what they do. Like
Aaron's
dad did not intentionally sacrifice his life for what he did. But that's exactly what he did, because he didn't have the right safety things back then that they needed to.
Right.
So he didn't necessarily sell his soul for it, but he definitely sacrificed who he was, and obviously his ended up being his entire life.
Sacrifice is a much better word.
Just took care of what he needed every day.
Yeah. And that's a good point too. These
going home, drinking some beers and shooting some baskets.
Yeah. Some of these careers that are out there, like you guys were talking about, you know, military guys that go out there
and
illegally
duplicating movies.
Yeah. You got the military who are going out there and sacrifice themselves for something they believe in.
Yeah.
Right? You got firefighters do it. Police officers do it. You know, you got medical people like what came here last night that do it. They don't know what they're going into when they bust into that house. They have no idea.
Yeah.
Those guys are risking themselves too for something that they are passionate about.
They love doing it. Which is crazy to me.
Yeah. They love doing it. I think actors are the same way that way.
Yeah,
that's why they're able to do it. That's why they take
risk. I think that's the good, like, comparison right there, is like the idea where it's like you can sacrifice your soul and give something your all, but in retroactively to that, you can basically say, are they willing to do it and whatnot because it's what they're passionate about and it's what they're lending their spirit to.
But that's not really sacrificing your soul necessarily.
That's what I'm saying.
That's different.
To a degree, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Different.
I don't think actors are selling their souls when they act that way.
Well, not all of them, no.
Well, but you had said that. That's
why
we got on that.
Yes, I did say that because I believe it's very common in Hollywood to sell your soul.
Oh, it is.
I believe there's a lot of people willing to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that everyone knows what I mean when I say that. I'm not saying...
It has a dick in there.
I'm not saying...
Somewhere in there.
I mean, it may or may not, but I mean...
Now cup the ball, and then, you know.
If you're still giving her directions after 18 years, wow.
Not her. I'm talking about what a producer's saying to some newbie walking in who sells their soul to get on a fucking opportunity on a show or a movie or something. It happens all the time.
Oh my God.
We know this. That's called Weinstein stuff.
You know what I'm saying when I say that.
I know.
I don't mean everybody. I don't mean all of them. I just mean, you know what I mean when I say that. Everyone who has done any film, anything, knows what I mean when I say that.
Correct. We do.
Right. Yeah. I have a friend who was started in the industry at the same time as somebody else did, and they expressed that they were a little jealous because that person was at the Oscars last year and they weren't. And I was like, there's that. That's true. But you've gone on and lived a life that you have lived, and you have no idea what they have gone through to get to that point. You don't know if they've sacrificed something. You don't know if they've done something that you wouldn't have been willing to do. So you can never, you can't be jealous of somebody who's on a different opportunity than you have just because of the fact that you're not living their life. You don't know what they are or are not willing to do, what they could or did not do to get there.
That's logical.
So
that's
before you beat yourself up, let go. Have some fun.
Yeah.
Throw a kudos. Maybe you get, maybe they'll throw you a bone now.
Yeah, you got to go. You got to dig sometimes to get past that kind of feeling, though. You know, because we're all surface people for the most part. You know, when you see somebody being successful, you're like, "Oh, motherfucker!" Especially if it's somebody you know that you feel like you've seen.
I do not think that at all. I think good for you.
Yeah, yeah, but
I'm
I mean,
so
there's
happy for people. Like
well,
that.
Well, I know you are. I know, but there is a feeling there. I know that people have it where you look at somebody, and you're like, "How did you do that?" And I know I'm just as good as you. What the fuck? How'd that happen?
I don't know.
There's no way I'm the only one that thinks that way. There's
I
no fucking
You're not
way.
The only one who thinks that way, but not everyone does. But so that's where Sam gets lost in it, because Sam and I are closer to that idea than anything else as far as like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Congratulations.
I did. Yeah, that's my instinct.
And there's other parts of me at the same time. It's just like, okay, now they did that. How do we figure that out?
Well, to me, it's, it's inspiration.
That's
it's
duality.
Like, yeah, if they can do it, like, so can I. So like, what can I do to get there too?
That
I look
comes
at it
too with it too.
Inspiration instead of
I do too. But I'm not gonna lie and say it doesn't pop in my head where I'm like, oh, those motherfuckers, how do they do that shit? What the fuck? And then I'm like, all right, I'm gonna do it now. Fuck you. Let's go. Let's go. And then that's where my brain goes. And so it does inspire me, but at the same time, I'm talking about that little piece of people that have that, like, I don't understand. Like, how did they get the opportunity? And I don't think they go any further with it. I think it stays on the surface. But Chuck was saying, if you dig deeper, you'll see that, what did they do? Did they have to do something that you wouldn't do?
Right.
You know, or this or that. And
yeah,
that makes sense to me.
No, that,
that
does,
makes
sense.
So, but I think we're such surface creatures. You know, our initial instinct is to react. At least, I think so.
Yeah. I think that can happen in both ways. I mean, it's kind of like what Chuck said, where it's like you can think something this way, and then after that afterthought, maybe you think something completely different. But they're kind of like in tandem with one another. But when enough time passes, you know, that'll be the way of basically saying, are you thinking the negative way or are you thinking the positive way for somebody else? That's how it always sums down.
Yep. And I think filmmakers are cynical for a reason, because a lot of them end up going that other way. And they start to get angry. You can see them online. They're just angry. Jay Horton talks about it all the time, too. They're just filmmakers. They're just angry motherfuckers. And it might be because of that, you know? They're not getting where they want to be. Or they don't have the patience to keep pushing through and being committed and being consistent. And then they start just getting angry at anybody else out there that's doing something. That happens all the time. You see it everywhere. Everywhere online.
Yeah.
So it's I think it's a common thing that we all would face, but how you handle it is what defines you. Ooh, that's a Batman thing. It's not who you're underneath, but what you do that defines you.
And we go back and we go back to Christian Bale and the weight loss and everything else.
Yeah. See? Full circles all the time. See? Well, I'm a storyteller. Yep. You gotta close
holes. Oh yeah. Always coming full circle with that close of the story.
Yeah. That's a 360 arc. You're welcome.
Oh yep. My god.
Okay, so Matt, you've written these stories. You're starting to get into writing. What is your, you're going to make these things into movies? Are you going to look for producers, or what's the plan? What are you going to do with them when you're ready?
So when they finally get through that phase and whatnot, I'm ideally aiming to get to this system, because everybody has a different system with this. Sometimes people might say, well, you get enough drafts in there and everything like that until you feel it's perfect. I'm like, no, I gotta have like a numerical value that I can put for amount of drafts, because if I do that, and if I get notes from producers and whatnot that I want to shelter out to and like get it made down the line, well, then we can have those conversations. But if I don't have like a numerical value for shopping, I'm sure a whole lot of people feel this way. When do you feel like you're ever gonna stop then?
Right.
you just keep changing those like tiny minute details along the way, when it's better to flesh out something that you want, skim over, maybe change a couple details along the way for that, you know, revision process. And then if you feel like there's something that isn't quite adding up after one more revision process, and you kind of like let people get a feel for what it is you're doing and everything, then do that, And then at that point, as many eyes as you can get on it as possible and whatnot, so you can get like a real crowd funny idea of like, okay, I get where this story's kind of fleshing out, and then you kind of take notes from there and whatnot, and if it can work into your storyline, that's how I want to like get into my writing process. Because I feel like it's better to kind of get more eyes on it at first so that you know when you're going into the production process and everything, all those like minor things to happen, like when you're making along the way, are just that. They're minor. They're not like major conflicts or anything that are happening. And then you're just like, oh, we're slowing the process and everything. And we're like, no, we want it to be like a fun, spontaneous thing from like the blueprint that we got. And I'm like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. No,
you're
like,
are you looking to write and sell, or are you looking to write and produce?
I'm looking, what is it? I think I'm mainly looking, at least for some things, I want to write and sell, because I know that, what is it? I think like more tutelage along the way will kind of like help guide for like shaping other stories down the way. But the more passionate things and whatnot, I want to say probably produce, just because I have like such a hold on them and everything. And I know if I meet the right people along the way, they'll help just shape that vision even more. You know, okay. If it's something that obviously comes up where it's like, okay, if it completely restructures any basis of the outline of the story, it's like, okay, that's different. But if, when you meet the people that have some idea of what you want to do and everything, and they're kind of coming across with what you're doing, and they may have skills that you just haven't gotten up to par yet, and they're saying, well, we're willing to help you with that, I'd be like, I'm down for that all day.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Collaborative
that's
good. Process. That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. Yeah.
Guess
and you're good.
What I
got to
do.
You got to go pee?
Yep.
God, I was just going to bring you up too.
I'm not making an hour anymore. Sheesh.
We're getting older.
It's that 50 pound swing when he has babies.
We're getting older.
Down again.
We're getting older. However, even during the night, I don't still get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go pee. I don't do that. I'm not that old yet, even though I'm almost 51.
You're like, I'm going to tough this out.
Yeah. I don't even wake up. No, I don't even piss myself. That's a beautiful thing.
I don't wake up, and I don't wake up wet. So either way, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
I've hit a positive yield here.
Yeah. No, that's good, man. I'm glad that you're writing stuff, and you've got a plan to try to figure out which way you want to go with it. I mean, it's important to do. I'm not really fond of. Let me phrase that. I'm fine with other people seeing what we're working on. But right. it's very tricky with notes, I think. And I'm learning that more and more over this last year. It's a very tricky process. Everybody's got their own opinion. Everybody's got a personality. And everybody's got different viewpoints of how and what they believe what something should be. So I there's no way to really see, you know, a completely perfect narrative that you could pitch from all these other angles and mix it into one thing that everybody will be happy. It's not going to happen. It just will not happen.
There's always going to be the outliers in there and the hecklers every so often that you're just like, guys, what was the point? But
yeah,
at the end of the day, you don't have to let it bother you. You just have to basically look at it as a perspective of, okay, I'm trying to see where you're coming from, but if it really isn't sticky, and then you're like, okay, I'll look for other eyes that can give me some positive influence for this then, because I don't want to, you know, everybody should feel like they have their own choice to make about what they do creatively and everything. They shouldn't be hindered by the idea if somebody says it's bad, because again, there's that equilibrium of like, some people think good, some people think bad.
Yeah.
You just gotta look at all the more positivity to keep doing it.
It's tricky. I'm a time guy, and that's the thing. I hate wasting the time, I think, sometimes.
Right.
That's all it is. Yeah. And some people's opinions, I'm just like, oh, for fuck's sakes. You know, but Sam takes it really good. She likes getting notes from people and having them look at things. And and you know what? I'm not going to lie. Sometimes they'll say something and I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But, you know, a majority of the time, I'm just like, no, this is not my movie. You're not getting it. And I'm not going to listen to this. And then after a while, you start wanting to just kind of not even share it with certain people anymore.
The more perspectives you have, the better.
It's true.
Clarity you're going to get.
But see, go ahead.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone's, like, different perspectives are important, because that gets you closer to where everyone liking your shit.
Well,
it really does, because there's so many different opinions, you know. I want everyone to like my shit, so I'm like, please, you know, like a bunch of people watch it and tell me, like, what do you think? And then I put it all together, you know. I mean, there's some that are obviously ridiculous, but, you know, you put them all together and you get a better product. That's how I feel.
And I feel that way, too. I just do it in a different stage than the end. I do it when we're making it. You know, and that's why I collaborate with all the actors and have them free to do what they want to do, because they are the talent. We wouldn't have picked them if we didn't trust them. You know, I'm not going to direct somebody who's got already the talent and gift to do what I'm hoping that they can do. I know they can. But
when
I'm they're like, Aaron, you like that? It's like, bro, did you? You know, if you liked it, I'm good, because I already knew you could do this.
When I make a documentary, it's different, though, because I don't have actors.
But you had a cast, or you had a crew of people
with you. Yeah, but that's my, I mean, I guide them, and I tell them, that basically, I ask them the questions they answer, and I tell them what, to, you know, that's my movie. I need some more eyes.
Right,
because
right.
Those opinions are just, I mean, they're telling their story, so that's a little bit different.
But someone...
They can't alter that, really, to...
I know, but I mean, you are a person who's watched more documentaries than you could shake a stick at. You know.
I could shake a stick at them all.
You know. You know what documentaries hit you in your life, and you know what documentaries you love that you've remembered all those years of seeing.
Yes.
You have what it takes. No different than I can feel like I feel that way with the films that I make because of the movies I've rewatched 1,000 times.
You know it,
but it's you. If you made the movie that you're proud of and you like it, you don't need anybody else's opinion.
I do, because there's always things in life that I don't see that people point out to me consistently. They're like, you do this or that. And I'm like, what? I do? Like, I didn't even notice. And I'll ask someone else and they're like, you do that. And I'm like, what? So I'm surprised by people's, you know, I don't see everything. I don't know. Even if it's about me, I don't sometimes see everything.
Right.
So when someone else watches it and they see stuff I didn't catch or I didn't see, I appreciate that like no other, because like I said, I try to be the best person I can be, but some people point out some shit that I do or have done that ain't that cool. And I gotta change that, but I don't even know I'm doing it. So that's all my point is that you don't always see everything as yourself. You know, you only see what you see. And sometimes people see shit that you don't see. That's there, plain as day to everyone else, but you don't see it.
That's
so
true.
So those perspectives mean everything to me, because those are the things I don't see.
But we only do it in movies.
What?
Other artists don't deal with that. You see what I'm saying? Picasso did not sit there and have somebody, hey, you think this is good? No. He made his shit.
Okay, but guess what? Picasso didn't need everyone to care about his art. You do.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do.
You don't.
You do, because he didn't become famous or rich until he was dead. So,
but you don't.
Come on now.
You're not trying to.
I'll put it in a museum.
But we're still making movies because we love doing it.
But you need people to watch those movies for it to matter.
Well, it will in time if you're consistent. Yes, if you're consistent with it, absolutely. But I'm saying that don't convolute your film with too many opinions up front when you're making it on this level. Make your shit. Don't get hung up on it.
Don't convolute your film, but take people's advice and think about the shit.
I get it.
And then you can come up with a better shit.
I get both sides, but I think the more movies you make in the most efficient way you can, the more content you're going to have out there, the better you're going to get. And if you're consistent with it, it's going to add up in the long run. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. You know, don't sit there and wait 3 years to get your movie made. Just make your fucking movie. Don't let other people tell you you got to fix this and change that too much. Just do your shit.
Well, it depends on what you're making, really, because I mean, the stuff you make, Aaron, is different from what I make. So there is that difference.
But this
because your stuff, it doesn't necessarily require people to tell you anything. That's your story.
But you still are making, you still have a voice, though. This is your voice. This is the one time you can make something and no one can tell you otherwise. It's yours.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it.
But I want it to be everyone.
Fair enough. That makes sense. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I want
fair
people enough. To have a hand in this.
Yeah. I want people to like it. I want it to be watched. I don't want it to suck.
Just in everyday life.
My own shit.
In everyday life, we always have things we have to hold back on and watch our mouth and have manners.
That's what I'm doing wrong.
When you're creating something like we are and you're making these films, whether they're documentaries or narratives, that's the one time where you could be like, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's all I'm saying. You could do that if you want to, and you would be just as successful, I think, than somebody else.
Aaron, I will never drop my manners. I will keep my manners, thank you. I will always have manners because I think you always should. But for myself personally, so.
I find it fascinating.
Yeah.
Pull the Eric Cartman. It's like, I do what I want.
He does. That's
it. Well, bottom line, you got to get to a point where you got to have to make a decision sooner or later anyway.
Yeah, but
whether you accept their notes or not.
There are certain things that are not, like, you just don't go, oh, I'm going to have this or not have this. And manners is one of them. So you threw me off when you said manners.
Well, I'm just saying in everyday life.
You don't have
life,
to have manners. Yes, you fucking do.
Well, when
you
you're
need
making
to have manners.
Well, what I'm saying then, when you're making your own art, it's yours. It's yours.
I still have manners. Still not going to make shit that's going to hurt people's feelings.
No, but I'm saying you don't have to accept people's notes. If
I want them, I accept. I want.
Right, but you don't have to. You don't have to question yourself because if someone said something.
I don't have to do anything.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, I think it's important. Okay. Bottom line, I think it's important. I think there's a line there and a good balance that you could do both and be just fine as long as you don't take it too personally.
Welcome to the inside of Aaron and Sam's house.
I was going to say, this is the last 15 minutes of the show is basically the off-the-air version of what happens when we close the microphone.
Yeah, this is actually pretty...
This is not true either. We sit around, we don't talk about anything. We have fun at house.
Sometimes.
We don't do shit. We do shit. Unless we're bitching about somebody else. That's the only time we're bitching.
That person said to me today.
Oh my God. I love how she's... Okay, fair enough. I'm going to let that drop. I'm going to leave it right there.
It's like, I'm letting you have it today.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it right there. All right, man. Well, anything else going on? You still filming stuff? Because you're a DP, dude.
Yep. No, and that was the other part that I was going to go into. Yeah, I've been continuously with Randall. We're still doing 48 hours that pop up twice a year and everything. So we're fully committed to stay on the rain with that. If he has to take a break every so often, I think I'm going to really commit to throwing my hat in the ring with directing because I think I'm in that mode of really trying to adapt to understanding the perspective of being a director now. Like, good. In fact, to kind of bring it back to that and how you get good actors and whatnot, and it's like allow their talents to flow and like give their input and everything. That's what I feel like ultimately can be the key to everything. It's like, so like if it was me in the perspective of a director and everything, I have actors, whether experienced or inexperienced, I'd be asking more questions of them of like, what is it you feel like you could bring to this in this moment? Like, correct. What's the indicators and whatnot or the triggers for what would get you into your character? Not this is what you need to do. Or like, this is how it has to be. It's like, no, or else why would I have them? It's like they can know what they feel and think about how they're portraying their characters.
That
otherwise,
is a fantastic.
Like the...
Yeah, that's a great point, yeah. Matt, that you just made about actors, because it is true.
Yeah.
I think that that's actually, like, why do you pick an actor? Because of their personality. It's because of them, of who they are.
Yeah.
Aside like, from being the actor, be they you are. Want them to bring themselves into the role, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's important to make the role good.
Yeah.
Anyone robotic who's willing to do just what you tell them to, exactly the way you tell them to do it, I don't think
you're not
going to
get
really,
a performance.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really necessarily wants that.
Yeah,
you want
no,
people for their personalities.
Like, yeah, let me play something for you guys on the show here. Tell me if you can hear this.
I have to tell you guys, I truly feel like some of my best work has been, you know, working with you and Sam. That the freedom you guys give for one to be an artist is just so refreshing. And you know that you know, and keep in mind, always feel like you can come to me with changes. You know, changes are not hard. It's the main blueprint and the main themes that are the hardest to get to. You know, once we get there, it's really a walk in the park. But I just wanted to tell you guys how that's why I know you guys are going to be successful, because you get it and you let people be creative. You let people's talent shine. And I have to say, I feel like some of my best work has been working for you guys. So I just wanted to let you guys know that.
That's our composer.
Mic drop.
Yeah. You could have at least played that for me before so I didn't have to cry like now.
Oh, you did. You, that was your first time hearing that, Sam?
Yes.
He just sent that before the show. Yeah.
That's Anthony. That's our creator. And he, you know, he's so creative. Okay, like, so. I... Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to give him that creative freedom because he's amazing.
But I feel that way with everybody we have.
But it's important, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have him as a composer because of his creativity. Yeah. Like, we love his sound. We love
the
what
dude's
he
talented.
Brings. Yeah.
And everybody that we've worked with is talented and they have their gifts. So why not let them use their gift? Why are you trying to constrain them to use their gift for your advantage? That's not how it works.
The sad part is that that's what a lot of creatives deal with.
It's bullshit.
Is people trying to tell them exactly how they need to be and what they need to do. And that's really sad because being creative is all about the freedom. Freedom and creativity go hand in hand. And when you take someone's freedom away from their creativity, it's not going to be like,
and that's what scares me about notes.
Well, I take them all with a grain of salt. If they sound, you know, if they sound legitimate, and I just think about them all, and I'm like, oh, she said this, okay, and I look at it, and I'm like, it does that, okay, oh, I see it, and then when I see it, I'm like, yeah, that's a good note, right?
There are good ones,
but then there's some that aren't good, and I'm like, I trying to sit there and try to figure out what they're talking about, and I'm like, well, obviously that's not it, you know, one I need to, so I blow it off. And that's how you gotta do it.
That's
when people say stuff, you just gotta look at it like, is this something I'm missing or not seeing? Because I don't see everything. I'm not, not like perfect.
Sam's come a long
way.
You've come a long way, Sam.
I don't know. I try.
She's doing good. Chuck, she's doing good.
She used to be afraid of IMDb.
Yeah.
So she's come a long way.
Yeah, she's come a long way.
I do way better with constructive criticism. Now. Well, criticism, period, I do way better
with. You do way better.
Way better. It used to make me just immediately, I would cry.
Yeah. Now I'm the one
you
that's
don't
like
it.
Now I'm just like, fuck them.
And I'm like, no, wait. Because I've learned over time, and I'm going to tell this to everyone who's creative and has any kind of a problem or a struggle with dealing with criticism, because it is hard when it's your artwork, because you know you put your soul and your heart and everything into it so much. So it hurts when someone doesn't necessarily like it or they criticize it. So I have had the hardest struggle with this, but let me tell you, if you can just open up your eyes to people's comments and let the ones go that don't mean anything, you know, but think about them, because some people have great points and they point out things that you don't necessarily always see. So that's how I learned to take them better, because I was like, there's good ones and there's bad ones. And if you can just take the good ones and listen to people, because they do sometimes, they are trying to help and they are doing it for a good reason. Some of them are just being dicks. And you just gotta let those ones go. But I've learned, you know, to embrace the ones that help me, because so many of them have. So I can't knock the critics. I used to say I hate people that criticize art. I hate it. Because is not for everybody. Art is not for everyone.
It's subjective.
If you don't like it, move on. Mm-hmm. That was my attitude before. But I don't have the attitude anymore, because I feel like that criticism helps artists be better artists. If you can take it in the right way.
God damn, Sam.
And listen to it.
Really
I've grown
good.
A lot,
really
right?
Good, dude. That was really good.
I've grown a lot.
Holy shit.
Eric's like, Sandy, I'll be here today.
Right? Good, yeah. Good, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
On that note, then, filmmaking, bro.
Yeah. It is a wild ride.
Filmmaking.
Yeah.
Matt, it's good to see you.
It is good to see you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for...
It's good to catch up with you.
Absolutely, it is.
Oh, yeah. See you all, too.
And hear your stories. What's my favorite character? It's the big... It's the throat one. What is it again?
Oh, go for throat.
Go for throat.
That's my favorite character. Or anger. Go for throat. And Aaron, if you ever say that to me, I swear to God.
I'm not going to say go for throat.
He's going to do a pose.
That's the worst thing. I hate when you run into a porn and they're gagging on a penis. I can't stand that.
Oh, my God. How did
it turns,
there?
It pulls me right out. It pulls me right out. I'm like, that is so stupid. Who's doing this?
That's not even what I was thinking.
Who's doing? Like, oh, I thought you meant that gopher.
Where's your gutter mind at?
I'm sorry. I was just thinking about gopher throat. That's the first thing that popped up.
Yeah,
like,
especially
just remember that
now.
Next time when she puts a freaking, like, a scarf around her neck.
Yeah.
Gopher throat.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. It's breaking my commitment of 18 minutes a day. You know what I mean? I've run into that, and I'm like, fuck it.
Turn into four.
Chuck, you want to close us out?
Thanks, Matt, for joining us today. Chuck, go ahead. Close the show out, man.
Oh, Matt, thank you for joining us down Around the Reel. Thank you for hanging out for a conversation. Thanks for coming to the studio and coming. It's always nice having people in studio. It makes it more fun, a little bit more engaging, which is always fun. Mm-hmm. Another thing, remember, everybody out there, everything that we talked about today and everything that you go through as a creative, remember that the evolution that you are going through is your own. It's not anybody else's. It's your evolution. Everything you do, you're going to get better as you do it, as long as you continue to try and do it. And yes, if you do it for 18 minutes a day, after 100 days, you will have a habit of doing it. If you do it for an entire year, you're almost becoming a master at what you do. So, even though Aaron thinks I'm a masturbator, I just want to make sure that everybody else out there knows that you can do anything you want if you put your mind to it. Because remember, think hard, as you're thinking anyway.
We'll see everybody later.
Bye.
She can't even say bye.
She was like, I'm out of it.
She moused out. Her voice went away.
Like, where did you go with that one?
For those of you that want to be a guest on Around the Reel, please email Sam at aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
That's aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
Not Messenger. Do not message Aaron on Messenger, because then he has to send you a message that says email Sam at aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
That's aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
How come they can't just message me again?
Because nobody wants to fucking talk to you.
Can anybody reach out that's an artist, filmmaker, actor?
If you're an artist of any kind, we want to hear from you.
But we are going to vet the crap out of you.
We don't care if you make millions of dollars in Hollywood or if you're just beginning your career in the art industry. We don't care. So everybody that wants to be on Around the Reel, yes, we want you.
That's aroundthereel253@gmail.com.